Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. How many know that he's Jehovah? I said, how many know that he's Jehovah? Hallelujah. He is Jehovah. Glory to God. Oh, yeah. You are Jehovah.
You are Jehovah.
And I worship you.
And I worship you.
You are Jehovah.
You are Jehovah.
And I glorify you.
And I glorify you.
There is no other.
There is no other.
No other God like you.
No other God like you.
Your name be praised. You are Jehovah.
You are Jehovah.
And I worship you.
And I worship you.
And I glorify
you. And I glorify you.
There is no other.
There is no other.
No other God like you.
No other God like you.
Your name. Come on,
lift him up.
Come on, lift him up. Right now, why don't we do that right now? We just got through singing it. Now somebody do it. Somebody do it right now where you are. Glory to God. Somebody start it now. Lift up those hands. Oh yes,
the name of Jesus. Lift him up a little bit higher. Lift up the name of Jesus.
Not just
lift
a song.
Up a bit
we're telling you to lift up the name of Jesus.
Lift him up a little bit higher.
Hallelujah.
Lift up the name of Jesus.
Lift him up.
Lift him up a little bit higher.
Somebody lift him up.
The name of Jesus.
Oh yeah.
Lift him up a little bit higher.
Clap your hands, all your people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Let's give him all the praise tonight and bless his name and magnify him. Hey, lift up the name. Lift up the name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. While we're still lingering in this choir song, I want you to just do something outrageous in your praise. Lift up the name of Jesus. Just freestyle. Praise break. Lift him a little bit higher. Lift him. Lift him a little bit higher. Yeah. Hallelujah. All right, well, we're going to continue this directly. Praise God. Let's just talk for a little bit. Thank you very much. You can be seated. And don't worry, we're not going to lose a thing. Didn't you appreciate Brother Ennis in the service this morning? Veteran, ex-military, missionary, brought us word of over 2,000 apostolics that we know of in the war-torn nation of Iraq. Muslims, by birth and by heritage, coming into the knowledge of the mighty name of Jesus. There is no place on earth where this gospel can't go forth, and the promise is somehow not true in that unique location. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Wherever there are people receiving the gospel. In China, one of the largest underground churches, representing the fastest growing segment of any Christian group, is a Jesus name baptized group that numbers in the thousands. I'm just telling you, it's about to break loose in China. It's breaking loose in the Middle East. This is going to be the greatest day. I believe his coming is near. And Joel said, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Touch your neighbor and say, these are the greatest days. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? The greatest days in the world at large, the greatest days for the gospel in the city of Birmingham, Alabama, in the metro of this area, we are expecting a move of God, great revival, greater. I'm telling you, we're going places where apostolics have never gone in this city. Gonna see things apostolics have never seen in this city. Are you with me? Well, praise God. Praise God. A few things need to talk about. One is that Rylan Tucker came a few days early. And then I was in the middle of a church service. Friday night, and my phone started vibrating, and I picked it up. I had a little picture of a little kid, a brand new baby, and Sister Lisa had sent it. She didn't send any message or anything, just the baby's face. So I got the message, though. Rylan is here. I talked to Brother Butch today, and they're really, really excited, and they're just excited about what God's doing there, and good, healthy baby, and Sister Ashley's doing well, and we give God praise and thanks for that. Praise God. Praise God. Want to thank the young men that filled in the platform and in the pulpit while I was gone this week. And we are once again reminded that the adage is true, that one monkey doesn't stop the show. Amen. That you can have a move of God, and appreciate these young men that are so willing and able. And we have a wonderful group of apostolic men in this church. Brother Randy, you wanna show the camping trip? Is that out of order? No, it's the first chance we've gotten. I want all the guys that went camping, and yeah, I want you to stand up. Beautiful location, beautiful time of fellowship. Brother Will and Brother Matt and Brother Cliff went noodle fishing and caught fresh catfish and cooked them up for breakfast. Some of the young men were disturbed about how that process worked. It didn't occur to them that you had to dismember those little fishes to get them in the frying pan. And but it was a great stand of towering pine trees, and the stars were just brilliant above, and wood smoke in the air, and just great fellowship. We had a good time of prayer. And a wonderful time of fellowship. And these are the things that build memories for young boys and plant
You can plant the kingdom of God inside people in a number of ways. And there were cooks all over the place. People had grills and Coleman stoves, and they were firing them up. Fake photography. They baptized 27. It was at night. The noodle fishers. Yeah, I want to give thanks to Brother Dan, who is not here, and all the other brothers that helped organize that, put that together, and handle the food and all those things that go into a meeting like that. Just excellent. Also want to say thanks to Ashley and Lindsay for some remodeling they've done in the sanctuary. Done a good job. Just nice to have folks with their hands in the work. And I love the presence of God that I feel here tonight. So Sutton and I were at the annual summit of the Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship this week in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And last year, I made a decision that we need to be a part of an emerging new apostolic group that is comprised of a lot of our old friends, Brother Larry Booker and Brother Nathaniel Wilson, and some excellent men who have and who will again stand in this pulpit. And it is something that we are very, very very excited about. We had wonderful, wonderful meetings this week, planning sessions and business meetings, and I wish you could have been there at the business meetings. I hate business meetings. But the Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship is a decision to pursue the apostolic experience in a way that pays great care and respect to the calling of the Word of God for holiness of lifestyle. And there are some things happening in the United Pentecostal Church that are a reason for caution, and I am very concerned in some areas, and in some areas I'm just as excited as I've ever been. So while preaching to the gathering there Friday afternoon, I told them up front, I said, I have a card in my pocket that I'm still a member of the United Pentecostal Church, and I have a card in my pocket. I'm a member of the Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship, and if something else comes along that's doing a real good job and I like the people and I'm interested in it, I may join that too. The body of Christ is not defined by organizational boundaries. The body of Christ is defined by water baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And so we have independent brethren that are the body of Christ. And we have UPC brethren that are body of Christ. And we have ALJC brethren. And we have all kinds of brothers and sisters and cousins and near relatives all over the world in an apostolic frame. And we had a United Pentecostal missionary in the pulpit this morning. So I just want to use this as basic informational exercise right now and just let you know what I'm doing. But listen now, the United Pentecostal Church is a fellowship not of churches, but of preachers. It's a ministerial fellowship. Churches can be affiliated with it, but it's a ministerial fellowship. The Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship is a fellowship of preachers, ministers. And so our church is an apostolic church. This church is an apostolic church. Apostolic because we go back to the oldest and the clearest doctrinal position of the Word of God. We're not interested what happened in the era of Catholicism. I'm not interested in the rambling philosophies of Augustine. I'm not interested in the Protestant explosion of 1500 and Martin Luther and John Knox. But we go back to the Word of God. Our hermeneutic is the oldest and the simplest and the plainest. It is Acts chapter 2 verse 38. It is water baptism in the name of Jesus. If you've been born of the water and if you've been born of the Spirit, you are a part of the body of Christ. And if you're a part of the body of Christ, you're a part of me. And I respect you, and I love you, and I care for you, and I don't want to hear anybody talking bad about you. This is the teaching of this church on a larger or a broader scale. This church of the living God that He built upon the rock of His name and the Word of God. It is a church that is greater than any cultural or ethnic boundary. It knits us together, and we are vastly diverse in educational experience and in financial experience and in a million different ways. But we are the body of Christ. Now, some of you that have been around a while, you can guess what I preached to them on Friday afternoon. I preached to them, give me the body. And I thought about preaching it again tonight, but I will at some time. Some point I'm going to break out Goldie Oldies and we're going to... Because these are not just sermons, they're concepts. They're concepts. Give me the body goes like this. Jesus Christ gave Himself on a cross for us. And there was a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea that went to Pilate and begged that body. But that body was broken and twisted and bloody and putrid and his bowels voided and he was a mess. And he was crucified in the nude. He didn't have that little linen garment that the artist gives you. It was miserable and pitiful and the blowflies were gathering. It was horrible. But when Joseph went to Pilate, he said, give me the body. And the book of Mark said he craved the body. And he took that body down and it was dead weight and it was messy and it was ghastly and it was covered with all kinds of things that you don't want to handle. But he handled it, and there's no good way to handle a dead body. Heavy and non-responsive and slippery. And with great care, he took it down off the cross. And he cleaned it with great care. And he put spices. And he wrapped it in fine linen. And he put it in his own tomb. Now here's the punchline for that message. I'm just wrecking a perfectly good message here. And I'm giving it to you in short form. In that moment when God, this is a climactic moment of all of history, when God gives Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. In that moment, God entrusted the moving of that body, the placing of that ultimate sacrifice in the place of the miracle of God. God entrusted it into the hands of a man. And a man handled that body, bloody and torn and putrid, handled that body, that precious sacrifice that bought my soul, and moved it from the place of sacrifice to the place of the miracle of God, to the place of resurrection. Paul in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians says, many are sick among you and many sleep because you don't discern the body. And he wasn't talking exclusively about the physical body of Christ. But rather, he was talking about the church of the living God, which in repetition throughout the scripture is called the body of Christ. Chapter 11, he says, many are sick among you and many sleep because you don't discern the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the beginning of Paul's teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14 is Paul's teaching to the church at Corinth on the gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 11 says you're in trouble if you don't discern the body. Chapter 12 teaches that the body of Christ is like a body. And the message in chapter 12 is unity. Every member is precious. And every member is valuable. And every gift is wonderful and desirable. And we need it. And so he teaches, he's going to teach them the nuts and bolts of being used in the gifts of the Spirit. But he starts with unity. Chapter 13, somebody tell me what's chapter 13. Love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love. He said, I'm like a tinkling cymbal. Just a little nothing at all. Chapter 13 is about love. He's still talking about the gifts of the Spirit. But he's talking about the way you interact affects the anointing and the flow of the Spirit of God. You can't be mean and hateful and ugly and ornery. You can be that, but you can't be that and have the flow of God in your life. You can't be a bigot and have the flow of God in your life. You can't be sharp and full of conflict with everybody around you and have the flow of God. He said, without love, you can forget about it. He said, you can't even bring an offering. Oh, I've come to worship you, God. Go make it right with your brother. I've come to praise you, God. Go make it right with your brother. Leave your offering at the altar. If that's true about your offering, then it's true about your praise offering. And it's true about your worship offering. Well, you said the demoniac could come into the presence of God and worship. He will let anybody in. Anybody can come in. But if you don't have it right with your brother, that offering's getting about that high off the deck. You've got to get it right. Why is that so important? Because it's the body of Christ. Somebody say, give me the body. Okay, I've given this to you in about 10 minutes here. And I wanted to tell you that I went there to tell them, I don't want to be a part of anything that has a malignant attitude about the people of God. I'm not going to be a part of anything that has a critical attitude about the people of God. I've got friends on both sides. I've got men I respect and I love on both sides of this. And I don't want to hear anything negative about either side of the issue. All I want to do is have my hands in every place I can get them where revival is happening and God is moving and men and women are having their lives changed and their destinies altered and they're coming to God. Well, praise God. This is about as political organizational as we're ever going to get. This is as close to a church-wide business meeting as we're going to have. Praise the Lord, Brother Ronnie. So I changed it a little bit because I was talking to preachers. And you can tell harder things to some preachers than you need to tell to the people of God. Because we got little ones and young ones. But when it's preachers, you just pull out the sword and go to work. But even among them, I could walk up and I got up in there a time or two and felt them tense up on me. So I delicately backed out. Because I didn't go to hurt folks. I just wanted to tell them the concept that we operate with here. The body of Christ is the focus of devotion and it's powerful for our experience. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, some exciting things are happening with the WPF. And in about 15 minutes, they raised over $200,000 for missions. And we participated in that offering. So, So, and I'm not going to take questions. But if you have questions, you're welcome. You know, I got an open door. You can come ask me about it. But I want us to keep our eye on an apostolic experience. We've got babies all over this house, and I want them to have a secure place. If God tarries, I want them to have a place where they can come in and feel the presence of God and know the moving of the Spirit of God and have a wild-eyed experience, an apostolic experience in the Spirit of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We had an elder Friday night take up the offering. He's 77 years old. He's from Leesville, Louisiana, where Fort Polk is there. He's had soldiers in his church for longer than most of you been alive. And he said, I'm so glad to be in this meeting tonight. I was beginning to feel like an island all by myself. And he's seen a lot of changes come to the Louisiana district. But I'm telling you, this is a refreshing meeting, a refreshing group of men with a wonderful and a precious spirit about them. And there is no antagonism and there is no malignant attitude. It's just, let's do the business of the kingdom of God. Everybody say, praise the Lord. So that's what I've been doing. And that's what we did last week. But I want to keep you appraised of things like that I'm involving myself in, because it affects you and it affects this church. But it doesn't affect our service Sunday morning, and it doesn't affect our service Sunday night, but it's going to affect. How many of you young people are going to Peak? Why don't you stand up? Praise God. Well, let me tell you, it's going to be one of the most outrageous meetings you've ever been to. You're going to feel at home in the worship. You're going to feel at home in the attitude. You're going to feel at home, and it's not going to be a situation where they're trying to use artful worldly devices to lure you somehow by worldly things, lure you into an experience with God. They're not going to mimic the world. They're not even going to care. All they're going to want to do is reenact what happened and what fell in the book of Acts, and you're going to be a part of it. Well, praise God. Okay. Everybody all right? Okay, good. Wonderful. Now, let's do a little more business here. This morning, we were working in Hosea. So let's work there a little bit more, okay? Hosea chapter 1, and let's use verse 10 and 11 for a jumping off place. Are you okay? You're really, really quiet. Now, Brother Bart and Brother Ray, you guys are out of an independent church. So we were glad that you were able to come to a UPC church so you could be saved. But all this conversation is probably a little really weird to you about organizations and all that kind of stuff. But I want you to know they came into the kingdom in an independent church and had the real Holy Ghost. And their baptism was really legitimate. Even though they were disorganized. I mean unorganized. Not organized. Yeah. You never define the move of God, nor the people of God, nor the church of the living God by organizational boundaries. If you've done that, you've cut off quite a huge segment of the body of Christ and said that it's illegitimate. And you've got bricks for brains. And that's as nicely as I can tell you that. Okay. Hosea chapter 1. We'll now return to our normal Sunday night broadcast. Hosea 1 and verse 10. Everyone say, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to happen. God is determined. Nothing can stop it. It's the promise of Abraham. It's moving right now. All right. Which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. You hear this. In a very place where people backslid and folks lost their covenant experience and generations were lost, and God looked at them and said, you're no longer my people. I'm done with you. In that very place, just out of sheer determination, God is going to raise somebody up that's going to live for God. Somebody is going to live for God. We took a text this morning from Psalms 22, the last two verses. A seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted unto him for a generation. I can't tell you of you that are in this house tonight, or those that will be born in the time period before the coming of the Lord. I can't tell you of those who are born, who's going to live for God and who will be there when the trumpet sounds. But I can tell you somebody's going to live for God. There's going to be a church, and there's going to be a people, and there's going to be revival, and there's going to be an outpouring, and the number of the children of God are going to be like the stars of the heavens and the sand of the sea, and hell can't stop it, and the devil can't stop it, and men can't stop it, and organizational disputes can't stop it. Somebody's going to live for God. My God, somebody is going to have revival. Somebody's going to have 100 receive the Holy Ghost in one revival. Somebody's going to have 100 receive the Holy Ghost in one night. Somebody's mama's coming to get the Holy Ghost. Somebody's daddy's coming to get the Holy Ghost. Somebody's kids are going to live for God. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. God is determined. He's already spoken it. It's going to happen. The play is going on. The characters are in question. But the end of the matter is in your hands. Martine, if you want to be a part of this, you can be a part of it. You don't have to be. You can leave anytime you want. You can spit in God's eye. Because there is no such thing as eternal security in the way that the Protestants teach it. But I believe you can be secure in your eternity. As long as you have a made up mind. I want to tell you tonight that in the midst of it this morning, it was a little bit hard. Because we started with, and you can stand or sit or whatever you want to do. It was a little bit hard this morning. Because God sent Hosea down to marry a harlot named Gomer. And he said, that's like my people. They're adulterous and they're off in a harlotry and they're off and involved in other relationships. And then they have three children together. And the children's names just mean your time is up. I'm cutting you off. You're no longer my people. I'm no longer your God. And there's no more mercy for you. And that's the names of the children that were born. So it's not a real uplifting area of study. And we were working on some hard attitudes this morning. And I don't often do that. I don't often get down and dig in that vein. And I would really have rather that the missionary had taken off and preached a little bit this morning. And I could have walked out and set that on the shelf. But the Holy Ghost wouldn't do it. And we had to dig for somebody. We had to wave it in front of somebody's eyes and says, there comes a time sometimes when God says, time's up, your generation's gone, your season is over, you've blown it. There's no more mercy for you. It doesn't mean mercy's dried up. It just means you've gotten so hard and so hard, you can't reach the mercies of God. And the end of the matter is you're no longer my people, and I'm no longer your God. And I had to tell somebody that that's a distinct possibility this morning. I had to deliver my soul to him. But lurking behind that, there was a message I wanted to bring into this house tonight and tell you that even though there were some that as sure as anything were not going to live for God, God said, I'm still going to have children like the stars of the heaven, and I'm going to have offspring like the dust of the earth. And it's going to happen because God is determined. Give your neighbor a high five and tell him God is determined. Somebody say praise God. Praise God. The only question in the house though, Brother Matt, are you determined? Are you going to do this?
Are you going to live for God? Is your house going to be a godly house? My God, take your little wife by the hand and stand up and just shout, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. I want somebody else, if you're sitting with your wife or your kids, stand up with them and say, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. The prophet said, choose you this day who you will serve. If God be God, then let him be Lord. If Baal is God, let him be Lord. But you got to make up your mind. You've got to make up your mind. My God, Israel was an adulteress because she went off after other gods. You've got to make up your mind. I'm married to God. Somebody say, I'm married to God. For richer or poorer. In sickness and in health. No matter what comes. I made a vow. I'm serving God. I'm not chasing dollars. I'm not chasing bow-legged women. I'm not chasing the allurement of the world. Almighty God, I'm going to live for God. I have made up my mind. Now, come on, you ought to say that. I've made up my mind. I've made up my mind. I'm going to live for God. Devil, you didn't want to live for him in a perfect world, but I'm going to show you how to live for him in an imperfect world. Don't say that. When you say things like that, the devil hears it. And then things happen. The devil says, oh, really? Punk? Oh, really? Sit down and shut up. Back off and slow down. Gonna live for God. Gonna live for God. Can you believe that he's gonna live for God? He's gonna live for God. My God. You're gonna live for God? Look at you. My God. Your mother doesn't even sit with you at church. She sits home. If your mother's given up on you, you're going to live for God. Everybody with money trouble said, I'm going to live for God. Everybody with family trouble say, I'm going to live for God. Everybody with sickness in your body say, yeah, but I'm going to live for God. Yet. The children of the Lord shall be as the star. I know some went back, but yet in the very place where I said I'm not your God and you're not my people, somebody's going to rise up and they're going to live for God with passion and with dedication and with a heart for the things of God. Come on, it's going to be you, going to be you. How about you, punk? You're going to live for God? I'm thinking of a perfectly good explanation. He doesn't know what I'm going to do, but he's braced. He's ready. My God. Young people, are you going to live for God? Are you going to live for God? Oh, yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa. But you wait till Ricardo comes by. Ricardo with the steel jaw and the jet black hair and the obsidian eyes and the aquiline features. And when he looks at you, you're like Belshazzar when the hand wrote on the wall and his knees smote together. Yeah, I've heard it before, but I've seen a lot of young ladies walk out the door after Ricardo. Mm-hmm. You gonna live for God? Oh yeah, yeah, sure, yeah. But somebody is. God's already said it. It's going to happen. And God is determined that it's going to. That means God is going to be with you
if you make up your mind to live for God. What shall separate us from the love of God? Shall height or depth or things present or things to come? Angels? What shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Touch somebody and say, if God be with us, who can stand against us? Touch somebody else and say, there are more that are with us than those that are against us. Shake somebody a little and tell them, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Does anybody believe this tonight? My God, Peter, you got a little baby girl there. How about your house? How about your family? Is it going to be the ark of God? Are you going to weather the storm? Are you going to survive the flood? It's all right here, man. It's all right there. You make up your mind and God will move heaven and earth to make sure that it happens. But the word of God has already said it. The train is leaving the station. The question is, will you be on the train? My God, whatever I have to do, I'm going to do it. I learned some things early on about living for God. I learned that if you want to live for God, you have to be there when the door is open. It makes all the difference in the world. In those that go and those that stay, you be there when the doors are open. When it's time to praise, you praise God like a lunatic. Not casual praise, not half-hearted praise, not a little bit of praise, but high praise. Somebody say high praise. You learn to praise God with all of your heart. You praise him in the good times and you praise him in the bad times. You praise him when you're healthy and you praise him when you're sick. You praise him when people like it and you praise him when people don't like it. You praise him In the morning, you praise him at noontime. God is worthy of the praise. Help me a little bit. Praise God. I learned how to praise in a traditional Pentecostal church. And I love my church. They kept me alive. They taught me. And I love my pastor and I honor him tonight. But they were a traditional Pentecostal church. What I mean by that is that they had an idea that worship was like something God did to you rather than what you did unto God. And that speaking in tongues was something God did to you rather than something you did, as Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray in whose will? I will pray in my understanding. Whenever I want to, I talk in tongues. And whenever I want to, I was standing on the platform one night up by the big dignitary chairs. Well, we have dignitary chairs too. We just never use them. When I'm old, I'm going to sit in these chairs. I am. When I'm old, I'm going to sit in these chairs. And I'm going to watch your children worship God. And I'm going to go, hey. When that's all I can do, that's what I'm going to do. But the Holy Ghost told me, I want you to worship every service. And it was revelatory. I want you to worship every service. And he said, I want you to dance every service. I said, God, you know, even my wife ridicules me when I dance. She still makes fun of me. She'll do it right now just for sport if you ask her to. I never could dance, Brother Mario. And so God said, I want you to dance every service. And he said, I want you to carry your big black Thompson chain with you when you do it. I said, God, they don't do it that way. And they're going to think, I don't know what they're going to think, but it's different and nobody here does that. And he said, yeah, but I want you to do that. This was about probably 4 years before we came to Birmingham to start this work. And praise has been a cornerstone of the experience of this church. How many of you have ever been to a traditional Pentecostal church? And you know what I'm talking about. First say amen, and then say thank God. That's right. That's right. And so, just here I go. Every service. And I learned new moves and everything, and I had to insulate myself psychologically because I really, really felt exposed. And I'd go around the perimeter of the building. You know, but before we left Baton Rouge, we were having youth services with nearly 200 kids, and it was smoking. I mean, I can see one of those services as plain as day, where I'm just walking through them, laying hands on them and looking at them, and they are just leaping and dancing and running because we're changing a paradigm. We're teaching them worship. It's important. You have to be there when the doors are open. If are we going to church is never a question in a survivor's and an exceller's household. Somebody say praise the Lord. If they're having it, we're going to be there. They're having a revival, we're going to be there. If we break down and start having old time revival Monday through Friday, every night of the week. Brutal. But if we have it, I'm going to be there. My God. I'm going to be there. I'm going to preach with the preacher. Everybody say preach with the preacher. When the word of God goes forth, I'm telling you how to live for God. I'm telling you how to survive when people are falling by the wayside every day. But God has already determined somebody is going to live for God. Tell your neighbor, preach with the preacher. The word of God is likened unto seed. And the parable said the sower goes forth sowing the seed. And the seed is the word of God. But it doesn't land in plowed up fields. It lands where? In the hearts of men. Now, when you say amen, amen means my heart says, let it be so. Amen says, I take ownership of that. Amen says, I believe that. Amen says, that's my promise. That's my assurance. That's my God. That's my word. That's my destiny. That's why it's so important. That's why I don't know what you think. I don't know what you think. When your pastor, when we have a visiting preacher, I'm down in the altar and I'm rocking. I don't know how you feel about that or how that makes you feel, but I've just got a policy. If I'm in a place where they know me and like me, or if I'm in a place where nobody knows me, I'm going to be on my feet when the word of God is going forth. And I'm going to be saying amen, because I want it to be a part of my life and I want the promise of the word. Somebody say amen. No, right now is when you say amen. Well, praise God. So when I preach holiness, when I preach separation from the world, when I preach tithing, when I preach giving, when I preach loving your brother, when I preach that racists go to hell, praise God. What are you saying? You're saying, I believe that. That's mine. That's my promise. That's the word of God for me. Somebody say, praise God. Be there when the doors are open. Praise God with all your heart. Preach with the preacher. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Sis Shirley, you've been around this a long time. I'm not saying that you're old. I didn't say that. Preacher chords. Like, bah, 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 bah. Because when it has a melody, I tend to drift off with it. Yeah, much better, much better. So, how long have you been? She's had the Holy Ghost for 45 años. I want everybody that's younger than 45 to sit down. It just kind of puts it in perspective, doesn't it? 45 years. Well, you've seen some stuff. Come walk with me. This morning, you were in Sunday school, but I was talking about the door of God swinging both ways. And there's some people always coming in, and there's some people always leaving. Have you ever seen anybody leave the kingdom of God? One or two? More of them are living for God. Precious people. Family. Friends. Loved ones. Enemies. You have enemies. What happens to you when you see somebody you love leave the house of God and you know they're not coming back because they left a long time before they left? You can see it. You see it. You can see it. You can see it. I'm here, but I don't like it. I'm here, and I'm mad at her. So what does that do to you? I'm interviewing a survivor, an exceller, somebody who's not just in the house, but somebody who is conquering the land, somebody who's ministering and doing worthy work in the kingdom of God. And when she sees me, everybody that won us to God backslid within the first year or two. Everybody that was influential in my life backslid. Have you ever had your preacher backslide? Your preacher backslid? You were such a grievous burden, you drove them to drink, or you... What do you do when your preacher backslides? Stomp your foot. Make up your mind. Thank you, Sister Shirley. When Samuel turned away from Saul and Saul tore his garment and Samuel said, "The kingdom's been torn away from you," Samuel went to his house and he mourned many days. Until God showed up in the house and asked him the pointed question. How long will you mourn for Saul? How long are you going to weep for Saul? I don't know what's the appropriate mourning period when your king, when your hero falls. What do you do? He said, "Samuel, get your horn of oil." The horn of oil is the anointing. Get your horn of oil and go down to Jesse's house and we're going to anoint somebody else. We don't have time to lose. We don't have life to spare to sit at home and mourn and grieve over a nitwit that doesn't want to live for God. I want everybody to live for God, but you hear me tonight. If you backslide, I hate it. I'm sorry, but you can't have my joy.
and you can't have my shout, and you can't have my dance, and you can't have my praise. And I'm going to stomp my foot with Sister Corey, and I'm going to say, I've got a made up mind. Praise God. Let's gather down around the altar tonight. I'm not going to go any further. This is one of those, we can go on for weeks on this. Praise God. If you got family here tonight, get with your family. If you don't, adopt somebody. As you gather with them, just begin to tell them. Just tell them. I'm here to stay. I'm here when the dust settles. I'll be here. Praise God. You're going to go down to the graveyard with some folks. But there's people already over on the other side that have been down to the graveyard with loved ones. There's people over on the other side that have already walked through everything you're going to walk through. My God, you can do this. Somebody's already done it before you. What I want to know is if God tarries 10 years, and am I going to be looking at a whole new crowd of people? Or is there anybody here that's actually going to live for God and stand for what God stands for? Hallelujah. Shake your brother, your sister, your husband, or wife, whoever's with you there, and tell them, I'm going to be here. I love God. I'm going to serve God. God is determined, and I'm determined. Come on. Come on. Now we're gonna worship in these groups. So you got to get a little room and make a circle or whatever you like. But we're going to worship in these groups. Maybe dancing circles. Whatever you want to do. Come on. Anybody gonna shout for God tonight? No more chains. I am free. Praise God. Sister Cynthia Irvin's having a breathing episode, and the fire truck's here. The paramedics are going to check on her. Sister Noel, why don't you stand in for her right here? And I want the church to pray for her right now. Brother Bert, you want to take a look at that and see what's what? But come on, ladies, lay your hands on Sister Noel and pray for Sister Cynthia. And over around the altar area, let's continue to worship. Come on, let's continue to worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.